What's up, everybody? Welcome to the program tonight. I'm telling you right now, we have got some kind of show that is prepared for you. If you're logging on right now, joining us via the Super Chat, I need you to share. Get as many people on here as you can, because we want everybody to be involved in this conversation tonight, because it really does involve everybody, our entire life. Tonight, we're going to be talking about cancel culture, and we're going to be looking at some pretty ugly things about the new wokeism and this religion called wokeism. I think it's a religion. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We want your opinion, so we are inviting you to jump in and to let us know what you think along the way. We'll be communicating with those opinions and sharing your thoughts as you share them. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mr. Noah Erickson, who's got his hands on the buttons.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm fixing to press a button right now. There we go. Yeah. I'm on the wrong camera, though, so I'm not even pressing the right button.
Did you show our other guest?
Yeah, I did. That is you're fixing to be introduced to him. He is not Noah Erickson.
No,
just
that,
so you know.
No, this guy arguably better looking. I don't know, maybe I can't say,
but my wife wouldn't say so,
but. I'm so honored to have visiting us this week my dear friend and a pastor from Loosedale, Mississippi. This is Johnny Duncan. He pastors Second Chance Ministries. And Pastor Johnny, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
I think I made him nervous as a cat. As nervous as you can make a country boy from Mississippi be. I think right. I made him nervous because I sprung it on him.
That'd be very nervous, though.
No, I said you're going to.
Mississippi boys are pretty tough.
I said you're going to be on the show tonight. You know what he said? Oh, my God, what am I going to do about my hair? I said, really? You're going to talk about what you're going to do about your hair? Look at my hair. Nobody's worried about my hair. Johnny, tell us what's going on in Mississippi. How's things going at Second Chance Ministry? And give a shout out to all your peeps.
It's going good. It's growing. It's like every other church or majority of churches. We're recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
Lord's restoring faith instead of fear.
Yeah.
We're moving forward and just looking forward to the future.
Yeah. Let me just tell you something. If you live anywhere close to Loosedale, Mississippi, Moss Point, Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi, Mobile, Alabama, that whole territory down there, and you're looking for a great church to go to, you need to go check out Second Chance Ministries in Loosedale, Mississippi. I go Definitely. There often to preach, and this is an incredible man and woman of God. They have a great ministry. I mean, just the worship is powerful, and so So where can they find you? What's the address, Johnny?
2184 Twin Creek Road, Loosedale, Mississippi, 394.
He had a brain fart there for just a second.
I did.
Well, it's so good. I was going to say I'm so glad that Johnny's on today. I started to tell him he had a face for radio, and then I remembered we're doing video along with this. But you will be on a podcast. So
we'll have to check the metrics and see if the podcast does better, and we'll have definitive data on that.
So. Exactly. Well, we're joking, having a lot of fun tonight. Again, we want to remind you that the live Super Chat is open right now, and we're going to be discussing cancel culture tonight. We're going to be dealing with some very specific things. Something just happened, big, just happened with a celebrity that could affect every single one of us. And we're going to have a very frank conversation about it tonight. So whatever you do, share the feed right now. Share it. Get people on the feed. Tell them to come and join us in this conversation. And we want your opinions as we move along in the discussion tonight. As always, I want to invite you, if you have not done it, please subscribe to the channel. That subscription to the channel, and it's been really remarkable since last week. We have had about 500 or 600 subscribers in a week that have jumped on and become part of the Shane Warren Ministry family. Yeah, so thank you so much. It sure helps when you share this feed and tell people to subscribe to it. So please do that. I also want to remind you that we are on podcasts, so all of our shows do go out podcasts. If you have a friend that likes to not necessarily watch YouTube videos, but they love to listen as they drive down the road, as I do, you can tell them to just check out Shane Warren Ministries podcast.
And, on all the podcast platforms.
Pretty much all the podcast platforms. Also, give us a thumbs up right now. Smash that like button, and that helps us in the algorithms. And we're going to need all the help we can get with this algorithm after we talk about this subject tonight. So let's jump right into it, guys, because I don't want to waste a lot of time. I want to get into what we're going to talk about. Well, as you know, there is a heavy political debate that has become extremely supercharged and very polarizing. It's vitriol. I'm telling you, people are really up in arms about what is going on concerning this thing called cancel culture. Now, this is a symptom, or rather a symptom of this dangerous discourse, is the acceleration of this new form that we know as cancel culture. I personally believe that it is extremely dangerous for a lot of reasons. Now, for those of you who have had your head in the sand and you don't know what cancel culture is, it's basically, just to sum it up, where people are punished, sometimes viciously punished, for violating some kind of social norm and, you know, increasing people's fears or comfortable, you know, making them uncomfortable about what they believe for expressing themselves.
So much of it is just about making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's beyond just you have an opinion that is offensive or hostile to my opinion, and it makes me uncomfortable because I'm afraid. And now it's you failed to properly validate my opinion.
Yeah.
And so you have to be canceled.
You know, one of the best definitions, oddly enough, of cancel culture actually comes out of the New York Times, where the columnist Ross Douthat explains, and this is how she defines it, that cancellation, properly understood, refers to an attack on someone's employment or reputation by a determined collective of critics based on an opinion or an action that is alleged to be disgraceful or disqualifying. And in the news media, recent cancellations have shown that the threat to cancel culture poses to free expression and highlights the importance of shoring up a more tolerant society that the word that wards off this dangerous excess of cancel culture. And so there's just so much to this stupidity. Every week we say we're going to put the smackdown on stupid. Like, guys, I hope y'all are ready to put the smackdown on stupid. But Pastor Johnny and I were having a discussion. I'm interested to see how you're going to jump in on this about the other side of cancel culture, those who are pushing that, how they might look at it versus how we as conservatives might look at this as well. And I hope that maybe we'll have somebody that's liberal-minded that would be on the Super Chat that'll give us a little bit of a taste of our own medicine as we go down this. I'd like to have a little argument about it.
You know, I can't tell you what a modern liberal thinks about it, but I remember back to before I knew the Lord when I was very, very liberal, progressive, beyond liberal, because, again, a liberal is not necessarily the problem. It's a progressive that's the real issue.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, and that we can talk about the definitions and what distinguishes them another time. But, you know, I think that a lot of liberals or progressives or leftists or whatever group you want to put them in are coming from a place of, they feel like there are needed changes in society, and they see the government's not capable of making those changes. So they feel justified,
right,
and even righteous in coordinating to bring about these changes. Yeah. And if you think about it from that perspective, we feel the same way about things, but we disagree on what is right.
Yeah.
And that's the big issue. And that's the Romans 1 issue, in my opinion.
Pastor, you want to jump in on this? Because we were talking about this on the way up here. We were having to rush here from Nashville to get into the show tonight. But, I mean, we were really on this hot and heavy.
Basically, where I see the council culture is, it's a one-sided conversation. Yeah. And they don't have a problem until you disagree. Now, as far as on the Christian side, we see things from a Christ-like standpoint, which a lot of times it is hard for us to see the other side of the coin, because what we see is contrary to what we believe.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge to come to the table and be able to talk normal and not disagree to get past the disagreement in order to find some solid ground.
Yeah, maybe even some common ground. And because of this difference of opinions, difference of lifestyles, and, you know, Pastor and I, when we were talking earlier, he said, what's the problem here? And I said, the problem is we live in an amoral culture. And he said, immoral. I said, no, not even necessarily immoral, just amoral. Everything is right. Everything is right. Everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. And since there's no solid compass of morality pointing north or right, no moral absolutes, then since everybody can do what's right in their own eyes, then everybody feels justified to let their opinion or their lifestyle be made known. And out of this comes this definitely no shortage of a passion of opinions about this whole idea of council culture. So on the way here, I kind of wrote a few things, and this is kind of the way it is, you know. So if you depending on who you ask about council culture, some people will say, well, council culture is on the rise. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Would you guys say? Yes. Okay. We're all three one of those people. There's others that say council culture isn't even real. And I think that would be the progressive crowd. They don't see what they're doing as canceling anybody. I think if you talk to them, they would say they're holding people accountable.
I wonder how
for
much
what
of
they
that,
feel is immoral.
I wonder how much of that is the 1984 newspeak element, though, where we're going to call love hate, and we're going to call hate love, and we're going to say it often enough and loud enough and force you to repeat it until you accept that that's what it is. So like, no, that's not really happening. Absolutely not. Hunter Biden's laptop, that's fake.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, to me, it looks like the same thing.
Everything's fake that we don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, so some people say it's on the rise, and some people say that it isn't real. And then Pastor Johnny, some people say that canceling someone or an organization has very little to no effect on the canceled. Well, that's easy to say until you're the one who's canceled, because the ones who are canceled say, no, that ruins lives and can even ruin corporations. And then there's some on cancel culture side that say that, hey, cancel culture is an absolute, total, all-out threat to free speech.
I would agree.
And then if you talk to somebody else on the other side, they'll say cancel culture is just speech that, again, is holding others accountable. So there's this dichotomy of views, and this is a really hard nut to crack, and it's something that's really difficult. And I think one of the things that is the biggest problem with cancel culture is that there is no absolute. So therefore, everybody's free game. Everybody's free game. So I'm going to let Noah tell you about what happened today with Kanye West.
So Kanye apparently received a letter from Chase Bank. I don't know the value of his Yeezy clothing brand and shoe brand.
It's just a little.
I assume it's a lot. I don't know if it's a multi-billion dollar company.
Let me look it up while you talk.
Look it up. Yeah, I'm curious. But, you know, Yeezy's pretty popular. I mean, popular enough people are digging through garbage bags at Gap to get the stuff. Yes. So, and there's reasons that was actually a genius move, and he was making a point. The more I listen to Kanye, the more I think he comes across as random and like he's not making sense, but then you realize everything he just said is actually correct. So it's an interesting thing.
Just, it's a small number.
What is it?
3.2 to $4.7 billion.
So I don't know his assets offhand. Let's say he's got just under $1 billion in assets in there in Chase Bank. Chase sent him a letter and said, we're no longer willing to do business with your company. You have, I believe, until November 30th to move all your accounts to another bank.
What an idiot.
So here's the thing. Why would they do that? Is it because Yeezy is insolvent? Apparently not. Is it because they see an upcoming collapse of designer fashion? No, I don't think that's it. I think it has more to do with him doing an interview with Tucker Carlson, saying something negative about the Clintons.
Yeah.
That probably had an impact on it. And saying something negative about cancel culture. And also, was it last week? He was out of the country. I don't remember exactly where, but he had the audacity, the unmitigated gall to make a political statement by making and wearing a White Lives Matter shirt.
Oh my gosh.
So thank you, Kanye, for revealing what is going on.
What's interesting to me is Kanye once was a liberal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody praised him. But when he supported Trump, everything changed.
Yeah.
So even with him, it shows no one's exempt from being attacked if they don't go along with the culture.
Yeah. Now, he may be big enough that he can avoid cancellation. He may have enough money and enough influence that he can do that. But on the topic you were saying earlier about there are people who say that it has no real effect on anyone, that it's symbolic or whatever. Well, that may be the case if you have $400 million in the bank and multiple houses and a yacht and all that. And if you're out of work for a little while, you can sell your yacht, buy a smaller yacht. That may be the case. But most Americans
can't afford it.
Most regular Americans are one or two paychecks away from destruction.
Yeah.
So if they lose their job for not towing the party line, for not being progressive enough, not being woke enough, that's a completely different story.
It's a spirit of intimidation and fear.
Yeah,
exactly. It comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, Pew Research, interestingly enough, did a little survey this last summer. And in this survey, they highlighted that liberals are more likely to perceive cancel culture as holding people accountable, whereas conservatives are more likely to view cancel culture as an unjust form of punishment. Now, certain individuals are rightfully held accountable for their actions. Today, what we're witnessing is too many excesses that flow from social intolerances. And I just want to throw out a thought here that ultimately, cancel culture, in my opinion, eradicates dialects. And what it does is it historically leads to totalitarian regimes.
Absolutely.
That's where we go, because now we control, or they control, what is being said, what's being heard, and what can be thought on a mass scale. And that's what we're seeing out of this media conglomerations. Mm-hmm. So now if they don't like one side of the equation, they can, in their opinion, hold the other side accountable without any consequences at all.
Any consequence to them at all.
Yeah, whether it's real or not real, right? And so we were just talking about Alex Jones, and I just want to throw out here, you know, Alex Jones is the ultimate conspiracy theorist, in my opinion. He says some things, and then, you know, Alex is edgy.
Is extremely edgy.
Is edgy. And he's not my cup of tea. However,
he's been right on some stuff that sounded crazy.
He has been right on a few things that sounded crazy. But anyway, just is it today that they awarded $1 billion to the family members?
I believe it was $965 million. Which is completely symbolic, because he'll declare bankruptcy. He doesn't have that kind of money. Yeah. No, hardly anyone has that kind of money.
Right.
You know, there's a handful of people on the planet
who have that kind of liquid cash.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, and even the people that we think of as the multibillionaires probably don't have that much liquid.
Yeah.
Anywhere close to that much liquid.
Right.
So yeah, it's completely ridiculous. What struck me in that case was the attorney for the families. So this is a defamation lawsuit. If you don't know the background, Alex Jones said on his show that the Sandy Hook school shooting was faked.
Yeah.
And parents sued him. This is the second trial have sued him for defamation, said that he called them liars while they were grieving and in the loss of their children. That would make me mad too, but this is an emotionally based lawsuit. And the attorney for the parents instructed the jury that this is not about what happened in this case. This is about making an example. Yeah. So people won't do this, which to me is a complete overthrow of every concept of justice. And it's more of the socialist perspective, because the libertarian conservative perspective is that the individual is important and you cannot violate an individual's rights. To the socialist, no individual has rights. They don't matter. What matters is society. So if you're communist Russia, if you're the USSR and you have to send 70 million people to the gulags,
right?
Because they're undesirable. Those 70 million people don't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is it makes your society as a whole stronger.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That's the thinking behind it.
Yeah. And so for me, that is the ultimate danger of the whole cancel culture concept, because that's hard to say, cancel culture concept, because eventually there's one group that determines who lives, who dies, who thrives, who barely survives, where you work, whether you don't work at all. And this gets very lopsided. It gets dangerous. And then when people start losing their livelihood and their family members, this becomes a desperate situation and very dangerous for us as the whole country. So for me, this is an eradication of free speech, but to them, they're going to view this as holding people accountable. I wanted to bring those examples up because I wanted to have a discussion about one thing. Let's do a little role play. Let's do a little role play.
I left my D20 in my other.
I don't have any dice. I'm the liberal. Let's say I'm very progressive.
Okay.
Very liberal in my ideologies, whether it's over sexuality, socialism, whatever that might be. I'm very liberal in my ideologies. So now I look at you as a threat to my livelihood, right? So your opinion as a Christian pastor is a threat to my livelihood. You're a threat to my way of life. You're a threat to my enjoyment of my life, and I have a right to live my life just like you have a right to live your life. So what other recourse do I have if you're threatening my way of life? What other recourse? So what would you say to, what would you guys say? And I'm interested to see, and if you'll throw that chat room up there on the screen, I want to be able to see the comments on this one, because I bet this is going to get ugly. What would you say, Pastor, if I said, well, hold it, I know you're a Christian, and I respect that you're a Christian. I respect you're a believer that has these strong convictions, but they aren't my convictions. And we live in a free country, and I have a right to live my life how I want to live it, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, and say what I want to say, and your way of life is a threat to me. What would you say?
That's a very good question. If they felt threatened by me, by what I said, if it's my opinion's one thing, if I just have an opinion on their lifestyle versus what the Word of God says as pastor, as Christian, I can't go alone to get along. Somehow I've got to find a place where I can share the truth, what I see as being truth, but yet at the same time love them as an individual and allow them to continue if they choose to go that way, not get into a conflict with them, an arguing match, which... An argument goes nowhere.
How would you respond, Noah?
That is a very good question.
I want to know how these people in the chat.
Yeah, you guys chime in. Let us know what you think. Yeah. For me, this is I see in a lot of areas in our society what appears to be irreconcilable differences.
Yeah,
and I don't. There's areas where I don't have a lot of hope that things will get better. And I think this is one of them, because how do you reconcile those two viewpoints? You can't. If someone genuinely believes, I mean, we back up, you know, we did a show a while ago, had Micah J on here, and we talked about self-defense. And,
yeah.
You know, and somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you know a lot about Tennessee law? And I said, well, in what area? If it's about self-defense, I probably do know a lot. And they were like, parking lots. I'm like, nope, nothing. So... But, you know, there's one of the standards of legality of when it is acceptable to use great force to defend yourself or a third party is when there is reasonable fear of death or great bodily harm is the legal standard. At that point, because there's no other circumstance in which it's okay to shoot somebody. There's none. It's horrible and it should never happen. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world. But in that circumstance, if you have a reasonable fear that you're going to die or lose a limb or lose an eye, then that becomes acceptable legally. If we're talking about people who really believe, they really believe that Christians are a direct threat to their lives, how do we dialogue with those people? They see us as an axe murderer. Mm-hmm.
Well, Gary in the super chat is saying, if the Bible says it's wrong, then it's a sin. And in my opinion, I think that's what he means there. And my opinion doesn't really matter unless I'm telling God he's wrong and should, revise. But here's the problem. Gary, we're assuming that everybody else believes that the Bible is the Word of God like us, and everybody else believes that Jesus is the Son of God like us. But what about the and again, the great amount of people that are in our nation and that don't believe like us and look at life from a totally different perspective? My argument, I'm playing devil's advocate here. My argument is everything we do as a Christian is a threat to their way of life. Or they perceive it. I don't think what we do is a threat to their way of life. We're really, for those of you who are progressive, we want you to know, as Christians, we're almost libertarian in our approach when it comes to things.
I'm very libertarian.
Yeah, we want you to live your life. We might not agree with it. Right. We might pray for you otherwise. We might even evangelically try to reach you to convince you of a better way of life, in our opinion.
Right.
However, I have no desire to control anybody's life. But I do not want their way of life forced down my avenue and forced down my children's avenue, right, especially without my consent. And I think that's where some of this has crossed the line. And it's really, I wonder if we've passed the point of no return when it comes to having discussion. And like we said, we've got intolerable differences here.
Well, that's the line that we crossed a decade ago, maybe more, right? That it's not just, I remember when gay marriage was first really becoming a debate, and it's legally settled now, right? Supreme Court ruled on it, and states still have their own rights, but from that one point of view, that's legally settled, that if you're homosexual, you can still get married.
Right.
And when that whole debate started, I said, look, I don't care if people that are living from my perspective, from my understanding of what God wants us to do with our lives and the Bible, they're living in sin, they're doing something that is wrong, that is harmful to both of them.
Yeah.
But if they want to go and get married, legally married, and file as married on their taxes, I don't care.
Yeah.
Where I care is when they want to have the right to force a church that believes that's wrong to perform that ceremony.
Yeah.
That's where I care. We've crossed a line from, I want to establish my rights, to, I want to take away your rights to enrich and empower myself.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I got to clear a couple things up. Edgar had just put on here that, slide up just a little bit there. He said that I look like a Starbucks coffee drinking liberal.
His coffee's way better than Starbucks.
For those of you who don't know, Edgar is a close friend. He's jabbing at me to get me to respond to him, and it works. So anyway, Eclipse J said, I have felt this way. This is where the conversation needs to begin with these people. We have to prove that the Bible is the truth through history and science before they will care what the Bible says. Even more importantly than that, I think we need to prove that the Bible means what it says and how we as Christians live our life before them and treat them.
It's the example. I think the biggest problem we have is people that hold the title of a Christian, but who really aren't Christian.
Yeah.
And these people see them and they take that we're all that way.
Yeah. I mean, in my interpretation, I'm sure both you men agree with me, we are not living up to the standard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't interact with the world in the same way that Peter did, which sometimes that's good. But in the fact that my shadow doesn't heal people, that's bad.
Yeah.
If I was manifesting all of that, if I was walking in God's glory all the time, people would take my opinion differently. Yeah. They would be more interested in what I had to say. Yeah. So that's a big part of it, I think.
Rain is making a statement here. He says, hey, you're an adult. Do what you want to do. You give an account to God, but leave the children out of your sickness. Totally agree with that. So for me, there's some crossing the line, as there is with any belief systems. You know, somebody's going to cross the line on that. Okay, let me take this devil's advocate thing a step further. This is where I'm going to, you guys watch now, because very rarely can I stump Noah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, here we go.
I'm going to do my best to stump Noah. All right. So what happens now? What would happen in your opinion, and all you guys that are watching, I want you to jump in on this. In your opinion, let's say the liberals, the very progressives, very liberal groups, came to a meeting and said, we want Christians to have the right to preach, to teach in our public schools, to have prayer meetings, to do Bible studies without any inhibitions at all. They have free reign. We just asked for equal opportunity. So if we want to teach on the homosexual lifestyle, we have our clubs, we can do whatever we want to do on our end to talk about our way of life. Christians can do what they want to do on their end, and it's no holds bar. We're not going to interfere with each other. Then what happens?
I think now, on the one hand, I would welcome that arrangement because I believe in the free market of ideas. I believe that two competing ideas can enter the arena and fight to the death, and the best idea wins. On the other hand, I have not very much faith in the modern church to enter the arena.
Is that not what we talked about earlier? So here's who. I just trapped you. I didn't trap Noah. I just trapped most of the people watching. Because here's the thing. I think that could be dangerous.
Yes.
And here's the reason why. Because I'm not so sure that the Christians have influence, have lifestyles, have impact to such a degree that we wouldn't be overrun by those systems anyway, or those belief systems in our schools.
Wow.
Especially with the breakdown in the family.
Which really speaks to the powerlessness of the body of Christ and where we've gotten to as a church.
Laodicea.
So what really where we're at, and at least I'm just telling you from my opinion, it sounds like I'm taking up for them. I'm not. I don't believe in their belief systems. That is not at all. I'm not one of those folks who compromises in that. People know what I believe, if you've listened very much at all. However, I'm trying to make a point here that in their opinion, we're trying to cancel them. In their opinion, they're saying, hey, your livelihood, what you believe, your doctrines, whatever, is trying to cancel my way of life and my way of thinking, and I don't believe in your God, or I don't believe in your Bible. So, hey, let's do have a free market and ideas. The problem is, I don't think the church is ready for that. I don't think the church could compete in that market for a lot of different reasons we do other shows on, which is extremely dangerous, in my opinion.
Concerning.
So now what we do as a church is we stand on street corners and we hold signs and we tell people they're going to hell and we blow a bullhorn in their face and tell them how they're wrong, but we don't have any power to do anything or change anything. And so
we don't even really have a whole lot of that. I don't think 1 in 100 Christians
outreach
does street evangelism.
Outreach is very lagging. When it comes to the body of Christ, it's really, and a lot of it's got to do with a watered down gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our young people, or they used to be taught from a child up. Now we're more focused on pleasures. Church has become an option.
Yeah.
And that's where your children learn.
Yeah. And that's what we saw in the lockdowns, is people now had the valid excuse to not take the option to go to church. But another thing that you said, that I said something and then I got convicted over what I said. When I said, if people who are living in a sinful lifestyle want to do horrible things that are harmful to themselves, I don't care. Well, that's a dangerous position for me to take.
Yeah.
Because
no, we do.
The Bible says, the Bible says, if I see someone headed to destruction and I don't warn them, their blood is on my hands.
Yes. Yeah.
So I can't, forgive me, Lord, I can't have that opinion.
No, we do care.
Yes.
We do care. Now, Tammy M is making a great point here. She says this happens at universities. And it does. See how that has worked out so far. Again, we're getting our ideal is getting overrun. Danielle says we're trying to compete now with loud music, games, and pizza, and we're losing. Nothing would change with free access to the schools.
Wow.
So what do we do, right? Rain is saying, love, the love of Christ Jesus is the only thing that can change a human heart, and the Holy Spirit does the work. Totally agree with that.
100%.
But what do we do now? Right? So, I mean, when we started this discussion, my intent at the beginning was I was going to come in here and I was just going to plow over cancel culture, but I think this is a much more complicated issue.
Well, it's the breakdown in the family again. Christians should be teaching their children at home. 2 hours a week is not going to give your children what they need with wisdom and knowledge in order to share the gospel, much less defend the gospel. So if the parents would take away the all the video games for a while, get up in the morning, do a little five-minute devotion, love on them, send them off to school, and just share Jesus with them on a continuously, they would learn more about Christ. They would learn about the love of God, and love will always conquer hate.
Yeah.
So it's a breakdown in the family, and we need to start at the house, and then the church needs to come back and be the church, walk in power.
Yeah. And how many parents don't teach their children? How many of us don't instruct our friends and our acquaintances and bring up the Lord in daily conversation because we don't really strongly believe it?
Well, we don't offend.
We don't walk it.
That's right. And the Word of God offends. It'll bring offense because it'll bring correction, and the Word of God cuts. So we don't want to offend nobody, but at the same time, the Bible says it's the truth in God's Word that'll make them free.
Yeah.
So
I've really been thinking about the subject that we're talking about a lot tonight. Late at night, sometimes I'll watch things, and I've really been thinking a lot about this. We have got to figure out a way to reach into our culture and to share Jesus.
Yes.
Because right now we're concerned about a cancel culture. I'm concerned about it too.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody could shut me down, shut the church down, shut my opinions down. And when you're a preacher and communication is what you do,
yes. That's how you derive your livelihood. Yes.
And you're shut down, that's a bad thing, right? But isn't that what they did in the early days of the church, the Roman Empire? That's what persecution was about.
Commanded them not to speak anymore commanded in his name.
Do not speak in his name. Stop preaching about this dude. You're not allowed to do that. But yet somehow in the middle of that, they're trying to cancel it, but they can't stop it. Because there was a group of people that said, we're going to preach Jesus. And something that's so interesting to me, in fact, I've got something in my notes. I want to know what you guys think on this in the chat room. I mean, how do we address this? How do we change that? How do we turn this around? I mean, look, guys, the truth is we're overrun. All the media conglomerates really have the bulk of control over all of us. The majority of America is not Christian.
Not real Christian.
I can't say that we're really conservative by biblical standards. Mm-hmm. We might be conservative by political standard. So how do we change the tide? How do we take it a different direction to where, I mean, we're sitting here talking about them canceling Yeezy. We need to be figuring out how do we get Jesus back in the culture?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because as Christians, that's what we're called to do, right? So anyway, I'm going to let y'all jump in. Somebody got something here? Because I
need love. To find... It's long-suffering. Just because you talk one time doesn't mean you can't talk again, even if you disagree. Maybe you can think about it, come back together, talk again. Somehow we can't compromise our convictions or the Word of God, but we can somehow break through that mental block they have of really seeing truth with love. And Rain was, she said, what about the children that doesn't have any parents to teach them?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's where the church comes back in. We as the leaders of the church have to go and get them. You know, we have to become part of their life. Let them become part of our family.
And so much of that, and, you know, we said Wednesday, you know, that the devil is a lahu zahar. He does lose ultimately, and his intellect cannot compare with God's. He's a created being. He's not the all-knowing, all-powerful maker of the universe. But he is very intelligent. I believe probably vastly more intelligent than we are.
That's right.
And he does have a plan.
Yeah.
And we see that throughout history. And I believe part of his plan has been one of the reasons we don't see as much street evangelism. I remember I worked for an evangelist several years ago. And he would tell me stories of a guy who worked for him a decade before that, who just, that guy was, all he did was create sets and props for messages and do street evangelism. That's all this guy did. Find me someone now that's all they do. And yes. Part of it is our culture has become so busy and inflation, everything else, we have to work so much to survive at the level that we choose to survive at, right? Because we could actually survive with a whole lot less.
That's right.
But we're Americans and we're not about to do that. But there's so many things competing for people's attention. How many people are single-mindedly devoted to the gospel?
Yeah.
I'd say very few.
One of the things that the chat room is showing me is that people don't have any idea either. Yes. Because nobody's chiming in here on really what to do or how to change it. The truth is it's a difficult equation to solve here. But what I see in the church world is we're always fighting against something, and let me just clarify, I'm for fighting against wickedness.
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm for fighting against demonic takeover. I'm for fighting against immorality, at every level and lifting up a standard. I'm for all of that. I'm for it. But I want to read something to you that I wrote. And I wrote this on a plane because I had come from a meeting where people were just railing on me about fighting over a certain thing, and I just didn't feel called to fight over that issue. I didn't feel like it was a mountain that I should die on. It was their personal conviction, but I just didn't, it wasn't what I wanted to. I wrote this, it's a little article entitled For or Against that I wrote. I have never published it. It's just what it is, all right? In Acts 19, Paul is in trouble in Ephesus. A crowd is pushing to kill him. Basically, they're wanting to cancel him. However, the mayor, in verse number 35, steps up and begins to rebuke the crowd that was about to kill the Apostle Paul, do this evil deed. In verse number 37, it really struck me when I read it and I read the chapter. He said, and I quote, "You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple, and they have not spoken against our goddess." Right? Now, these are the apostles.
Yes.
They've not taken anything from the temple. They've not spoken against their gods at all.
Wow.
But they've been preaching Jesus. You see, I wrote this. He had been in that area teaching and preaching for about 2 years and 3 months at the time of this writing. No doubt the idol worship grated on him, but he apparently, according to the mayor, never one time spoke against the goddess Diana. That's just shocking to me. For 2 years and 3 months, according to verse number 10, people throughout the provinces of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, by the mayor's own confession, Paul never spoke against the goddess Diana. He was not there to tell them what he was against, but to tell them what he was for.
Yes.
Mm.
And I wrote these words, "God, please help us to leave a legacy of what we believe rather than what we're against."
That's good.
I'm for Jesus.
Yeah.
Good.
But here's what I see in the Christian church. We spend all of our time fighting what we're against, and I'm for that. I am for making a stand. I'm a fighter by nature.
Yes.
I love you. Listen, I believe in living for Jesus. I'm a peaceful guy. You punch me, I'm going to speak in tongues and punch you back. That's just the way it is. I am a fighter by nature. But what we do as Christians is we always fight, and we're never lifting up the name of Jesus. We're not acting like Christians. We're not living in such a way that people are so attracted to us that they want what we have. So, they want to cancel us.
Well, and I think part of fighting, being willing to fight, and the necessity of fighting, is if we are a city set on a hill,
right,
then what do we do except reveal to other people that they're down in a valley and they're in darkness? What else does a city on a hill reveal except it's higher and brighter up there?
Yeah. 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 Pastor, you got anything you want to jump in?
I'm just looking and just listening. We avoid a lot of the places and a lot of the people because we don't want confrontation.
Yeah.
So we miss out on a lot of opportunities. If we can find that domino,
yeah,
people don't understand this. If you can find the domino, the one that's leading everything in the council culture, and you can change them,
yeah,
they'll begin to change the others.
The only saving grace of the cancel culture is that it is a vicious cycle.
Yes.
So think about it.
It eats itself.
It eats itself. Yes. Exactly. That's where I was going. So this is the only saving grace of the cancel culture. Eventually, nobody is off the table.
That's right.
Right? And so when it works its way around and it starts getting to pop culture icons who have different opinions, now maybe he'll use his $2 or $3 or $4 billion to start influencing a different way of life as well.
What about Bill Maher?
Bill Maher? Yeah.
Major liberal.
Yeah.
Now he's going against this council culture.
Yeah.
And he's getting attacked himself.
Or Jesse Gabbard, that was a Democrat.
Yes.
Now is, you know,
oh, Tulsi?
Tulsi, rather. Yeah. Yes. Tulsi Gabbard, that, you know, sharp lady. I mean, you know, said she can't take any more of it. This could actually work against the agenda, which I think the devil always overplays his hands.
He does.
And I think this liberal agenda is overplaying its hands by trying to force the sex down our children's throat. And I think we need to make stands on it. Listen, please do not get off this chat room and say, well, Pastor Shane wants to compromise. Don't make a stand, because that's not the case.
Right.
I believe in making a stand, but what I'm just simply saying is we need to figure out a way to get Jesus into the culture. I'm okay to tell people what we're against, but we got to figure out a way to tell people who Jesus is.
Yes.
Yeah. What we're for.
What we're for. All right. That's about all I've got, guys. I think I've run the gamut. We got any comments over there that we need to look at? Rick says many churches have in a lot of individuals, but are not connected. When relationships are developed by the body, developed as one, healing, strengthening, equipping for the purposes and the understanding of one's life. I agree, body ministry is really important. Scott says, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word baptizing means to wash in the word. Discipleship isn't a program. It's a relationship. In a previous post, he was saying one of the only ways to turn this around is by raising up disciples and teaching people what the word of God says. Carol says, the Bible tells me to go out and to compel them to come in. I wonder how many of us are even doing that. How many of us are even, especially Christians, are even rubbing shoulders with lost people who believe different than us? I mean, when I heard about a certain witchcraft store in my community, I went to the witchcraft store. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to buy anything there. I went there to talk to the young lady who was running the store. That's the only way we're going to cross those lines. Yes. We can't keep hiding in a closet and then just going out to a street corner and holding up a sign and yelling through a bullhorn at everybody about how wrong they are. They're not going to hear it. They don't believe like us. They don't think like us. They don't talk like us.
Yes.
They don't have the same, even the same foundational concepts we have. Their viewpoint is totally different. So at some point, we've got to be able to bring our life into an intersect with their life and have enough Jesus in us that it affects them.
Yeah.
Yes. When we walk away from there. You're awfully quiet tonight. You're making me nervous.
I'm telling you, when I said I was convicted over what I said, yes. I really am. And I'm really looking at a lot of things in my life. And what have I structured in my life to reach people for Jesus, and what have I structured for my own comfort? You know?
Yes.
That's where I am, and I'm holding myself up against a standard that I fall pretty far short of.
I wonder if maybe this is the reason Jesus warned us to judge not.
Yes.
that you be not judged. For with the same judgment that you dish out, it'll be dished out back to you again. So
which
for
Greek
those,
word for judgment is that?
That is
that's the snap judgment. That,
yeah,
right?
It's krino. It's quick. It's the quick yeah. judgment without weighing. And diakrino is weighing.
And it tells us to diakrino.
Yeah, it tells us to weigh all the facts before we do that. And so, you know, here's what I just want to say to you. If you're one of those people who's always waving your finger at everybody else, maybe you need to try to find a different approach, right? On the other side, for those of you who are riding this wave of the cancel culture, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with the famous words of author Evelyn Beatrice Hall when she said, "I do not agree with a word that you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." And the essence of free speech in America, that's what it's supposed to be all about. I should be able to disagree with everything you say, but at the same time, be willing to fight for the death, to the death, for you to have the liberty to say it. I'm one of those Christians who believes in free speech.
Yes.
And I vehemently, vehemently, passionately disagree with a lot of the junk. It's just crap that's going on, whether it's the sexual perversion, the stuff going on in the educational system, the weirdness in the political system. Right now, everything's weird to me. I don't think there's anything normal that's right. happening. I am in vehement disagreement with it, and I am passionate about what I believe. But at the same time, I am 100% for people to have free moral agency. I want to remind you Christians out there, God gave you a choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
God gave you a choice. He could have just snubbed you out and canceled you when you didn't live according to his dictates. But God gave you a choice. Now, the challenge before us is not whether somebody should have the choice. Not my opinion. The challenge before me is how do I tell Noah or convince Noah that there's a better life
yes.
than what he's currently living? If yeah. he's living contrary to the word of God, how do I convince him that there is a better life, that there's a better way, that there's a more blessed way, and that Jesus loves him? And if I can figure that out, I think maybe we all come back to the table.
I share one last thing.
Yeah, share.
One last thing. Not because I'm a pastor, but we've all been through issues and we've had confrontations. But if you'll follow the word, quick to hear, the first thing we should do is be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to reach more of these people, we need to follow them three steps.
So good, Pastor.
Yeah.
But I want to share for the unbelievers is this. I worked at Gulfport Fire Department for almost 18 years. And me and another fireman, he was a senior fireman to me. He didn't believe that the word of God was written by God. He believed that it was just a bunch of men got together and they pinned it down. And he said, how can you know this is truth? Now we know the word.
Yeah.
They wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They wrote it. So God gave me a word for him. And here's a word for you if you don't believe. I said, and we always had nicknames. They called me Country. I don't know why. It's because of the way I talk, I reckon. They called him Popcorn.
Could be.
And I told him, I said, his name was Steve Matthews. And I said, but I called him Popcorn. I said, Popcorn, let's say you're right, that the word of God hadn't been written by God. Man just come up with it. And we both die. I said, the way I live for Christ, I wouldn't change anything. It's a good life. I've lost nothing. But let's say it is truth, that God wrote it, and we both die. I said, you lost everything. We never had another conversation, but we never had an issue with each other neither.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll leave that.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Sorry I took the conversation in a little different direction, playing devil's advocate here, but I did that because I want to make you think that maybe we need to all figure out, go before God and say, God, help us reach our country. Help us reach our community, because that's the only way real revival is going to happen in America. The good news is, God does want to use you. And God loves all of these people who are so jacked up in their thinking. He loves them.
Yes, he does.
And you know how I know that? Because he loved me.
Yes. And he loved me.
And
me
he too. Still loves me, even though I'm still jacked up in a whole lot of ways. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button if you haven't done it. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next time on Shane Warne Live.